Tonight we advance in another book of the Bible, in the book of Ruth, and you will do well to look upon the Bible and to look at the book of Ruth. Is right there after the book of Judges. Joshua, you know, Deuteronomy, then Joshua, then Judges, and the book of Ruth. It's a story that we're going to look again in this series of that we are doing in the Old Testament. Christ in the Old Testament, and I entitle purposely the book of Ruth, Christ the Kinsman Redeemer. And as I develop the book for you, you will see why I entitle the book Christ the Kinsman Redeemer. Now, let's look into our introduction to this series. We have a serious progression, and maybe you can tell me if you remember how Christ was presented in these books. The first book that we studied was Genesis. And Christ, in the book of Genesis, we saw Christ as the seed of the woman, the one who was there, and when God promised that through the seed of the woman, he will bring a redeemer. And remember Genesis 4. Eve thought that Cain was the man, and he labeled him Cain. That was his name, which means I got the man. She thought that that was the man. And humanity is still doing that. They think in a human redeemer, and God is talking about a heavenly redeemer. Now, the book of Exodus, in the book of Exodus, Christ was the Passover lamb, and that's in Exodus 12. Then the next one is the book of Leviticus. And in the book of Leviticus, the combinations of the offering and the high priest. In the book of Numbers, they were in trouble, and they raised what? The serpent, the metal serpent, and that the New Testament said, as the Moses raised the serpent in the Old Testament, so Christ will be raised up. In the book of Deuteronomy, remember in chapter 18, Christ was presented as, he said, do you hear this man? What was? The prophet. He said, God will raise another man, verse 15, like me. You hear him. And remember, God said in the baptism, here is my beloved son, you shall hear him. And then in the book of Joshua, he was the captain of our soul. Remember, he was the commander in chief, the one who brought the victory for Israel. And the book of Hebrews said that Jesus is a captain of our souls. Now in the book of Judges, you remember the book of Judges? In the book of Judges, God raised judges redeem, to protect his people. God raised the judges to, each time the Israel went down, God raised another judge to protect it. And so he's the protector of our soul. Now today, we come to another book. And the topic of discussion is this. And I want to do this because doing typology is very serious. We just learned at 4 o'clock the difficulties, I taught the class, the difficulties of making typology. You can make anything you want with the Bible, and that's not so. There has to be a verbal interpretation of the Bible. In other words, when the Bible say it, then I believe it. And if the Bible said black is black, and if the Bible say white is white. If the Bible said faith is faith, if the Bible said Christ is Christ. That's a secret, and we talk about the whole hour about that. But so the topic of discussion tonight, as every night, is this, the book of Ruth and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do this on the basis of the authority of the scripture, as I'm going to share again the general information, even though we shared this morning about this general information a lot. In the Gospel of Luke, for example, in chapter 24, as you heard the sermon this morning, in Luke 24, Jesus gave us witness of his presence to two disciples. They came from Jerusalem to the city of Emmaus. These two disciples were there. They were following Jesus. Now he's on the cross. What are we going to do? You know, and so Jesus joined them And in order to reveal himself to them, this is very important. I hope this morning I made the point. In order to reveal himself to them, look at what the Bible said. At beginning at Moses, that is the first five books of the Bible, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So in order to reveal the work of God at the cross and the resurrection, Jesus showed his disciples the scripture, even though he was there. Now, the disciples, remember, do not believe him. And so he appeared to the disciples. And look in verse 44 what he says. The same chapter in verse 44. He said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, first five books of the Bible, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, plural. And Psalm plural means any other scripture that is not the prophets, and the Hebrew Bible are classified like Psalms. And so that was the whole presentation. Then in the Gospel of John, when he talks to Pharisees in chapter 5, and in verse 39, he informs then the entire Bible is a witnessing about the Lord Jesus Christ. John Gospel, chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scripture, Jesus said, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. So if you're going to find Jesus, if you're going to look for Jesus, the Bible tells us you have to look in the Bible. And the text that this morning crown our sermon and wrap up the sermon in one text was Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. And I think that is very clear and very obvious. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, which is a manifestation of Psalm 40, the Bible said, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And so we have in the scripture the testimony that we are authorized to look in every book of the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to see the comparison that fit perfectly to the New Testament. And they both locked together as we saw the Lamb of God. And this morning we have the Lord's Supper. Jesus was doing the Passover. And he said, I am the Lamb, by saying, I am the bread of life, and so on. And so that is perfectly united. Now tonight, we have the book of Ruth. And I'm going to share with you the specific information on the book of Ruth. And then the message. So I'm going to do the same thing I did this morning. I'm going to go through the book and see what really happened in the book of Ruth, and then go into the message of the gospel as we take one spot of the historical event and bring it together with the gospel. The first thing that we need to see is the subject matter of the book of Ruth. And in order to have the subject matter, I need to go to chapter 1 and go over the 15 verses with you, because maybe some of you are not familiar with the book of Ruth. So I'm reading and making comments as we read and to get the subject matter. The Bible said now in verse 1, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So the book of Ruth is in the time schedule. The book of Ruth is in the period of the book of Judges. Now, doesn't say what judge. Remember, we studied there were 13 judges. Doesn't say what judge was in power when this happened, but that's what the Bible said. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The land, there was no food in the land, and so the man moved south. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab, and continue there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And so we have a man, a family, a husband and wife, and two children, and they moved from Bethlehem down south to Moab. As they were there, the Bible doesn't say how long they were there, the husband died. Verse 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwell there about 10 years. And so the children married, said the Bible. And now, verse 5, and Malon and Chilion die also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And so now here you have a widow with no help whatsoever. Her husband died, the two sons die, and she's alone in a foreign country with two daughters-in-law. And it's very, 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 very tough. And the Bible says in verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. She said, well, the situation improved in my land. I'm going to go back over there. Wherefore, said verse 7, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. So they made preparation, and they made their mind, and they said, we better go home. I better go home, because over there I will have a better situation than here. Verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. In other words, she wanted to say to the, you had no chance in Israel to marry to nobody, because it was against the law to marry a Moabite. So I said, you better stay here and you marry with your people. And she kissed them. But they, in verse 11, excuse me, in verse 10, the two daughters-in-law said, no, we want to go with your people. And Naomi said in verse 11, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husband? That's the law, remember, in the Old Testament, that if your husband died, then you marry the brother. And she said, I have no more sons to give you, so you had no chance to marry, because you were married to, you got to marry in the line of my family, and there is no more people over there. So it's worthless if you come with me. Now, verse 13 said, would ye tarry for them till we were grown? In other words, even if I have children, will you tarry until they grow up? Would ye stay for them from having a husband? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleave unto her. Now, we have here the subject matter in the situation, and Ruth said, behold, my sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Naomi said, you know, here you see Orpah left and goes unto her people and her gods. You notice that? Her people and her gods. You better go. See? And so the subject matter is this. Is a this is a an unfortunate situation of a woman who went with her husband to a foreign country to make life better, and their husband died, the two children die, and now she ended up with two daughters-in-law from a foreign country with a different God, and she trying to persuade them, go back to your land, because if you come to Israel with me, you have no chance to marry. The law said you have to marry on my line, and I had no one in my line to marry. You were lost in Israel, so you better stay. And she persuaded one, Orpha, to stay, but no Ruth. Ruth wanted to stay. Now, the second thing I want you to look in the book is the surprise and reserved trust. Now, it comes in the New Testament, you have many passages where, like Cornelius and people like that, they have unreserved trust in the God of Israel. Look at verse 16 and 17. I have used these in weddings. When I married Lee, I used these as the vows in the wedding. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And listen to this one. If this is no conversion, is what? Say, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if out but death part thee and me. Now, that is commitment. And when I marry people, I read this scripture because this is commitment. All right? So it's a surprise and reserved trust from a Moabite. Now, these are people who, if you study history well in the Bible, you know the Moabite stopped Moses to making a short cross into the land of Canaan. And Moses had to go all around in order to 40 years cost Moses. Because the Moabite said, no, you cannot come here. And here is a Moabitess. Here is a lady from Moabite territory saying, I make a full commitment. I go with you, but the key of the commitment is your God will be my God. You know, the Bible said in Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they agree? It's like if you were in disagreement with me, I'm going to walk with you. We have to agree first, then we walk together. All right? Now, in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, you find the struggle for survival. Now, how are we going to make it? Look at chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, a rich fellow, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. Now they're in the land now in Israel. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. I'm very sure that Naomi told this story to Ruth. I said, Ruth, according to the law of Leviticus, if I have a kinsman near to me, he can pay the bill, and he can redeem you and marry to you, and all his possessions will be yours because this is the law. And so now in the conversation, Ruth in verse 2 said, the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Verse 3, and she went, and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hut was too light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now here is the struggle for survival. They have only one survival in the land of God, and the one survival was follow the law. You have to follow the law. You can go over there and you have the right to glean whatever those people left over, because that's what the law says. And so seems that the law was their salvation for survival. You see that? The law has become here, looks like an arm of redemption to that. But really, the rescue operation is something else. God, see, some people cling to the law and the good works and doing this and doing the other for survival and apparently give you a hope of survival, but that's not the plan of God, as you will see. Look at chapter 3 and in verse 12 of chapter 3 of the book. Chapter 3 of Ruth in verse 12. And now it is true. This is now Boaz is speaking. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Now here is what Boaz, as you remember, she was tired. She slept at the feet of Boaz. She wake up. She see this lady. Boaz was single. And he said, what is going on? She explained. She identified herself. And she told the story of the struggles of life, what happened in Moabite territory and who she is. And the man checked all the papers and he come to the conclusion, it is true. I am thy near kinsman. Nevertheless, I have somebody else who will be nearer than me. Let's go and talk to him. Chapter 4 then. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. Now he found the one who was near kinsman. And girls, this is the way people marry in the Old Testament. What do you do when you marry in the New Testament and you see the wedding ceremony? What happened in the wedding ceremony, girls? Anybody know? Or boys? What happened in the wedding ceremony? What something happened as a symbol of their married relationship? What they give to each other? Rings. Now, in here, you will see there's no rings. In the Old Testament, you give a shoe. Look at there. Here it is. Then, verse 1, when Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here, and they turn aside and sat down. Now you see, the Bible said in verse 1, then Boaz went up to the gate. The gate is like the city hall today. In the gate, there was the income tax people, because in the gate people go out with merchandise and come in with new merchandise. They had to pay their taxes. All the transactions were made in the gate. It's like the city hall here. Here's the moment of transaction. And so he goes and he sees the guy who is really close. And he said, hey, come down, sit down right here. Verse 2. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. Now the Bible said they only need two. Remember, the Bible said require two witnesses for the truth. But this man wanted to be sure. And he takes 10 elders, 10, an elder in the city. When the Bible used the word elder in the city, is like an official, like somebody will be the mayor of the city or there will be the councilman. That's where they were. He took 10 of them and put it there. Now verse 3. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is, come again out of the country of Moab, sell the parcel of land which was our brother's Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, but if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Now let me explain again. If you have a piece of land and your husband die, you cannot sell it. They have to be bought by the next in line. And he will buy it at a good price to set you up high so you are not in poverty. That's why they don't need bank in the times of Israel. The bank was made between the families. And so if a woman, the husband die, the brother of the husband will pay good money so that she will have her life set up for life and she will go. Now, Boaz is saying, I have the money to pay, but I cannot pay. You are the one. Do you like it? He said, oh, yeah, I buy it. I redeem that. Now, see this story. Verse 5. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, the day you do that, thou may buy it also of Ruth the Moabite, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. He said, not only you have to buy the piece of land, now the piece of land comes with a gift. Is a lady by the name Ruth, and you have to buy her too. He, according to the law of Leviticus, you have to pay for the wife, and then you have to marry her and have children with her so that the dead will have an inheritance. It's all in the book of Leviticus. And so Boaz is well informed, and he tells that. Verse 7 now. Now, this was the manner, verse 6. And the king's man said, I cannot redeem for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou thy right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, listen carefully. The man who hath the right to redeem is, I'm already married. If I do that, I mar my inheritance. So it's your choice. So now comes the rescue operation. Now, verse 7. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning exchanging, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to the neighbors, and this was the testimony in Israel. That's the way you buy a wife. You take your shoes and you give it to the person who made the official vow. And Boaz said unto the elders, therefore the king's man said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, we are witness this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech and all that was Chilion and Malon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Malon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witness this day. And all the people that were in the gate and in the elders said, we are witness. So he took his shoes and said, all right, I'm married. Get the shoes to the judge. He said, all right, you got my shoes. And they might have boxes over the other shoes and the name. And this is for the women, as a testimony that I will be buying her. That was a rescue operation done by God, not by man. According to man, she struggled. She went into the fields and she begged and she tried to do something. But God has a greater plan. And God said, no, in the law, there is established that you can be set up beautifully. There is no way that you can have to do this. We have a greater plan. We have a rich fellow who had the ability to buy. And that fellow was Boaz. As you know who Boaz was, do you remember who Boaz was? He was the father of who? All right. And then the father of? Jesse. And then the father of? David. Now, ladies and gentlemen, from somebody begging on the fields to somebody in the legacy of King David, that's a big story. You see, when God really redeemed people, you see what God does compared to man? So let's get the message in this. Let's get the message. I want to call your attention, the message. Now, Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 16 says clearly and openly that God is our Redeemer. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 16. God is our Redeemer. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Do you see that? Clearly say, thou, O Lord. You know what the word O Lord is? It's in capital in your Bible, O Lord, the word Lord. And you know when it's in capital, you know the English Bible used the word Lord in capital for what name? Jehovah. And who is Jehovah? Remember, Jehovah is the Savior. And who is the Savior? Jesus. All right? And so in the New Testament, Jesus in John 8:58 said these words. He said, before Abraham was, I am, which is the word Jehovah, means I am. And the Jew want to stone him. And nobody understands it unless you know that Jesus was calling himself the Lord. And so Jesus is our Redeemer. Jehovah is our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. Now, the law was our nearest kin man. Look at in John chapter 5 and in verse 45. The law is before Jesus. Is that right? What came before Jesus? The law. And the law is our nearest kin man. Let me get into the Gospel of John in chapter 5 and in verse 45. And this is what the picture of Ruth really is presenting. John Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom we trust. Moses is the representative of the law. He was the one who brought the law to bring the people to God. And he is the nearest kinsman. The law, if you fulfill all the law, then you are saved. If you never made a mistake, you never cross a line on the law, you are saved. And so that's the nearest kinman. But you know, the next to the nearest kin man is the Lord Jesus. Look at in Ephesians chapter 1, and in verses 5 to 12, and in a minute I show you a verse who compared the law and Jesus together. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5, the Bible said, Ephesians 1, 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by the Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. Now look in verse 7. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood for forgiveness of sin, wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensations of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which were in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined. Now, we were not part of the inheritance of God. We were like Moabites. We were Moabites. And God brought a Redeemer. The law cannot redeem us, but God brought a Redeemer. And the explanation is in Acts chapter 13. If you go to Acts chapter 13 and to verses 38 and verse 39. Acts 13, verse 38 and verse 39. Be it known unto you, brethren, known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that though this man is preached unto you, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And so the first kinsman, the law of Moses, cannot justify us before God. The first kinsman cannot bring us unto God. And so what happened? Then God bring the Lord Jesus. He can forgive us sin. The law can. See, the law cannot, the law was not given in order to forgive sin. The law was given so as what Galatians call a school master to point you to sin. So cannot redeem you. So what is the conclusion? If you go, two scriptures I'm going to use. One is right here on the screen, John 1, 17, and a scripture well known, and a scripture they speak about what came first and what came second. John 1 and verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. That was our first kinsman. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by whom? By the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is your next Sunday school lesson. That is in Romans chapter 3. A great Sunday school lesson. Hard to finish sometimes. So rich in as we study the book of Romans, so rich in justification. In Romans 3 and in verse 20, we find these words. Romans 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So here is the picture of the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth introduces us a redeemer. Now, Ruth wanted to work things out, and she said, well, I have a plan. That's what the law says, that you have to glean in this field. I go and I do my job. But God said, we are not redeemed by ourselves doing our job. God has to do the job. And God did the job of the person of Jesus Christ. He came. He died on Calvary cross. He paid for our sin. He wake us up. He called us into his kingdom. And he redeemed us and made part of the family of God without me doing anything. I don't have to do any gleaning. I don't have to do any work. God does the work. Do you see that? Christ is our kinsman redeemer. The law was the nearest that cannot redeem us. Christ can. Praise God for his work. How can people invent a religion and create religions, whether Catholic or Protestant, who make a set of laws whereby you can get saved? There is no way. The only way you and I can get in the kingdom of God is by the Redeemer bring us into his presence. That, I think, is why we have the story of the book of Ruth in the middle of the hassle of the book of Judges. When Israel was up and down, they were with God and without God, God raises judges. And in the middle of that, God brings the story, the beautiful story of a woman who tried by herself to follow the law, but she came short. But God provide a redeemer where she gloriously become part of the inheritance of God. If you want to see the name of Ruth again, you have to go to Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, she is there as one part where Jesus came from. I tell you, it's just fantastic. What else are we going to look in life? Nothing else. Jesus, our Redeemer. Thank you, Father, for the lesson tonight. Thank you for the beauty in which you blossom Jesus Christ in such a way that there is no way to make a mistake. Thank you, Father, that in Jesus Christ we have a Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, that you brought the law to show to us that our works are insufficient, that our life is not enough. And we have been damaged so much that nothing that we do can justify our life. But thank you, Father, that you brought the Redeemer, the one who is rich enough to save us forever. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.